The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
All right, well, I'm tied into the Truth Infusion chair. There's a microphone in front of my face. I've got study notes up in front of me here in front of the on the computer screen. And I am excited about the information that God is allowing me to present to you. I've said to you before, Romans chapter 6 is one of the most powerful, most effective, most necessary few verses in the Bible, and it is relatively untaught and misunderstood. And I'm not claiming that I've got it all figured out by any means, but I do know that God has changed my life through what He has shown me in this chapter. And that's why I'm excited to relate it to you. If there's somebody out there that is hearing this, that is following this, that is allowing God to do a work in your heart that a man cannot do for you. In other words, you can't change your heart. And you know what else? I can't change my heart. So if you can't change your own and I can't change my own, then why in the world would anybody think that one man could change another man's heart? I can't change your heart. Dr. Phil cannot change your heart. I know that hurts some feelings out there. But you know why Dr. Phil can't change your heart? Because he can't fix his own. And it's somewhat asinine, to use that term, to think that if we go lay on a man's couch in his office and pour out our difficulties to him and allow him to suggest to us some things that we may or may not do, that somehow we're going to come out of that changed and better. We're not. You know what changes the heart of man? When God Almighty performs a divine surgery on his heart, her heart, to fix the actual problem. Oh, we're very good, don't you know this is true? We're very good at applying our homemade remedies, if you follow me, to a problem that is spiritual in nature. And it takes a spiritual act from the divine surgeon to see our enemy within handled. And that's what we're discussing. That's what Romans chapter 6 discusses. It discusses what happened at the cross of Calvary and what the Holy Spirit does to us and through us to change the effect of the sin nature in our lives. We started on Romans chapter 6, verse 6 last time, and I really don't feel like I did a very good job of explaining that. I want to review verses 6 and 7 again and maybe give it a little more detail and more teaching this time around. Because what happens at Romans chapter 6 verse 7 is no small thing. I mean, I cannot overstate how powerful those 9 words are. Romans chapter 6, verse 7 says this: "For he who is dead is freed from sin." And I've taught you that that word sin is better translated and should have been translated the sin nature. And what's the difference? I don't want to assume that any of this is just obvious to you. When I say sin, it's either a noun or a verb. Well, let me go English, old English class on you here. If I use sin as a noun, talking about, well, let me take that back. If I use sin as a verb, let's talk about that first. As a verb, an action, I'm talking about something that you do that is not what God wants for you. In other words, you have broken God's law, His rules. You have done something that is slapped the face of God, so to speak. You've assaulted His character. You have sinned. You have committed a sin. We know what that means. You've lied. You've gossiped. You've gotten angry, and that anger has gone into something that's sinful. You have slandered a person's character. You have gone on with an unforgiving heart. You know what else sin is? It can be something that you should have done that you did not do. If God gave you the opportunity to bless someone financially, to help them with something that they need, and you didn't, people, that's a sin. Because God's called us to be servants, ministers of the gospel. If you had an opportunity to speak life into someone, encourage them, witness to them, and you didn't, that's sin. That is the action of sin. That's the verb of sin. Now, but also you can use sin as a noun, as a thing, as the great idea of sin. At any time in Romans chapter 6, except for one time, and in verse 15, any other time it's used, it's not the verb. It's not the action of committing a sin. What it's talking about is the overall idea of sin, the overall premise of sin, the bigger picture of sin. It's talking about the sin nature. And here's how I describe that. The best way to understand it is this. What is the sin nature, David? The sin nature is the factory inside you that produces sin. Okay? It is the factory inside of you that creates acts of sin. It's your sin factory. And when the sin factory is running, it is operational, then the result is you pump out sins that you commit. Are you with me? So here's what happened in Romans chapter 6. This is the explanation. It is the explanation of how God shut down the sin factory in your life. And verse 6 gives us an overall good explanation of this. Verse 6 says that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve the sin nature. Okay, let me give a little flesh to the skeleton here. Let's flesh this out a little bit. It says that our old man was crucified with him. Now, what's that talking about? It's talking about the life that you lived before Christ. It's talking about the life that you lived that was controlled and empowered by the sin nature, that rebellious life, that life that began when? When you turned into a teenager and became rebellious against your parents? Nope. When did it begin? When you were a 9-year-old and nobody was looking, so you stole something off the candy aisle? Nope. When did it begin? When you were a 2-year-old, pitching a fit, throwing a tantrum? No. David said, I was conceived in sin. There was iniquity in me from the beginning. We are born with a sin factory functioning in our lives. Now, you're saying, David, that we're born sinners? I'm telling you this. Before you were ever able to willingly and knowingly commit a sin, you had a nature inside of you that had you separated from God, because God cannot be in His presence. You cannot have communion with Him. You cannot have a relationship with Him when your nature is that of sinfulness. Okay? So this verse says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him. Crucified with Jesus. Now, what is that talking about? We've discussed this over and over. The first few verses of Romans chapter 6, specifically verses 3 and 4, go read them, paint an amazing picture of what happened when Christ died for us. We have this idea, and it's right, I'm not saying it's wrong, that Jesus died for our sins. But you know what? It's more than that. It wasn't just that 2,000 years ago, He was on a Roman cross, and that represented our salvation. It does, it did, but it's deeper than that. I want you to see into it deeper than that, because Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, Paul says, don't you know that those of us who were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. What is that talking about? It's talking about being placed with Christ in the mind of God at the very point of his death, being on that cross with him. Romans 6:23 is a very familiar verse to all of us. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Right? Now, what does that mean? Now, we know what it means. Let me explain it anyhow. What are wages? You know, hopefully all of you are hardworking Americans. We need you out there working right now in our nation. You go to work. You put in your 40 hours. You earn a wage. You've agreed on a wage that you were going to earn from your employer when you went to work there. And by doing the work that he has called you to do, you have earned and you deserve a set amount of money. This is the wage that you have earned. Wages are a deserved payment. Verse 23 in Romans 6 says this, "The wages of sin is death." And again, there's the sin, the word sin, the sin nature is the correct translation. So let's say it that way. The wages of the sin nature is death. What we have earned, what we deserved, our deserved payment for the sin nature and the effect of it, all the sin that the sin factory has pumped out, is that we should die. That's God's law. That is what God has said from the beginning. Sin requires death. Isn't that what happened in the Bible? He told Adam and Eve in the garden, when you eat of this tree, in that moment, you will surely what? Die. What did that death represent? Spiritual separation from God. Spiritual death. Because at that moment when Adam and Eve partook of that forbidden fruit, when they broke that law of God, the most cataclysmic thing that ever happened in man's history took place, because the Holy Spirit left Adam and Eve because sin had entered in, and at that moment the sin nature arose and separation was immediate. So what was God's response to that? He comes walking in the garden, you remember the story, calling out, "Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you?" Now, did he forget where they were? Did God not know? No, he knew where they were. What was he doing? "Adam, where are you?" He was giving Adam a chance to say, "I'm right here, God, and I have messed things up." But Adam didn't take the opportunity to make things right. He continued to be divisive. He continued to avoid. "Adam, where are you?" "I'm hiding." "Why are you hiding?" "Because I'm naked." "Who told you you were naked?" You know what had happened? The creation that Adam was from the beginning had changed. And what we call the old man became the new man to Adam. A new thing arose in him. And he was immediately aware of the shame and the guilt that the sin nature brought. So God recognized that, and he performed an act that is easily skipped over in Genesis. The Bible says that Adam was standing before God in guilt, Adam and Eve in guilt, in nakedness, and we say the physical nakedness, but you know what? It was a spiritual nakedness. It was a separation from God that had caused distress in Adam's heart and life, spiritual death that God had told them would take place. Here's what God did. The Bible says that God took an animal and killed it. The first death was at the hands of God in the Bible. First life that was taken was at the hands of God. And he removed from that dead animal its skin. And he covered Adam and Eve. And that symbolized that through death, the sin would be covered. It was a picture that was being painted of the coming Redeemer. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Now I'm going to come back and continue with verses 6 and discuss again verses 7, because I want you to get this. So you come on back on the other side of the break and we'll continue on.
Hey, this is Tim. I'm the youth pastor at Partnership Church. One of my favorite stories in the Bible can be found in the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 37. It is a story of Joseph the dreamer. In this story, we find a man who is called by God to do something great, but faced some pretty crummy situations along the way. Now, he doesn't receive his calling and immediately step into the promise of God. No, we find out he gets traded by his brothers, sold into slavery, wrongfully accused, and thrown into a prison where he spent several years. 13 years went by from the time that when Joseph was sold by his brothers until he was made overseer of Egypt. So, what am I trying to say? The Bible says in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph. That's right, the Lord was with Joseph even when it looked like God had forgotten about him. That means, child of God, God has a plan for your life. Maybe you're going through some times right now that just seem too difficult to bear. I want to encourage you by saying God is not through with you yet. He has a plan for your life. Surrender to his voice, trust in the promise found in Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave or forsake you. Visit us at partnershipchurch.com.
Hey, truth seekers, especially you pastors out there, go to truthinfusion.com and check out our schedule of events. We've got a lot of things coming up at different churches, but there's room for your church. If you have a need for a worship event or a teaching event, I'd love to come in and preach and teach the Word of God for you. Give me a call or email me at truthinfusion@gmail.com. Let's put something on the schedule for you and your congregation. All right. And we're back, and we're discussing Romans chapter 6. I'm kind of going around the bush, so to speak, to make sure that you understand what verses 6 and 7 are explaining, because they are power. I mean, the Word is alive, people. It is a living, breathing, spiritual organism. And if you will get off of the superficial words on the page and start to dig down into the meaning, into the power of the Word, it will change your heart and life. It will change you. And that's what this is. I just got through explaining, if you were with us, what happened in the garden. And Adam and Eve knew that they were naked. And really, it wasn't just physical nakedness. I mean, you got to get deeper than that. They had just experienced spiritual death and separation. Everything had changed. All of a sudden, they were separated and apart from the God. They had full God consciousness. Now that's gone. Now what they are experiencing is full self-consciousness. Self entered into the framework here. And the sin nature had come to life inside of them and was now dominating their life. God comes through the garden. Where are you, Adam? I'm hiding in the bushes, Lord. Why? I'm ashamed because I'm naked. Adam, who told you were naked? Not that you haven't had any clothes on so far in your whole existence. What has changed in you? It's not that you don't have clothes on. What's going on? God knew full well what had happened. He knew, he felt himself the grief that he must have experienced when the creation that he loved so much had rebelled and destroyed that relationship. But then God performed sacrifice. He instituted the sacrificial system at that moment. What was he showing them? That through the death, through the blood, as he killed that animal, sin would be covered. And this, as is over and over in the Old Testament, the Old Testament is the cross of Christ revealed. I'm sorry, let me say that again. The Old Testament is the cross of Christ concealed. What you see in the Old Testament is over and over pictures, symbolism, foreshadowing, illustration after illustration of what the cross of Christ would be. What it would do, what it would accomplish. And that's what we have. Romans chapter 6 is beginning to paint the picture of what God started showing them with the death of this animal when he covered their physical nakedness, showing them in symbolic gesture here that there's coming a sacrifice. There's coming the blood of a perfect sacrifice that will not just cover you temporarily, but will eternally make the difference. And here we are in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. And we see the culmination of all of the foreshadowing and all of the types and shadows of the Old Testament come to life in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Knowing this, he says in verse 6, that our old man was crucified with him. There's the death again. There's the death like God committed in the beginning with that animal. Just like Abel's sacrifice on the altar. Just like the hundreds of thousands and millions even of goats and lambs and pigeons and bulls that were sacrificed through the Old Testament to represent that the sin is covered by the sacrifice. But we know from Hebrews that not one death from one animal made the difference in sin. All it did was allow God to set it aside for a little bit longer. They followed through with the sacrificial law outlined by Moses. And when they did that, God said, because you've done this, I will set aside and wait for the sacrifice that will make all the difference. The Redeemer that he spoke about in the garden. When he told Adam and Eve, there is coming one that will crush the head of the serpent. He will bruise his heel, but he will have his head crushed by the coming Redeemer. In Jesus Christ. And Paul says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, the wages of sin is death. Right? Christ died. But when we came to him and said yes to that plan of salvation, we put our faith in him, we recognized him as Lord, then God did a miraculous thing. I can't really explain this or describe how this happens, but we're just told that we were joined together with Christ in the eyes and the mind of the Father. We were melded together with him. We were fused together with him. We were made one flesh with his Son, so that what happened 2,000 years ago on that Roman cross has a very present effect in our lives, in your life, the moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Your old man was crucified with him in the heart of God the Father. What for? So what? Well, finish verse 6 with me. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Why do we need to be crucified with Christ? Because the thing that has separated us from God this whole time was that sin nature, that sin factory, that body of sin that we have developed and grown over time. The body of the sin nature, through the sacrifice, through being joined with him, was destroyed. Not annihilated. The sin nature doesn't get plucked out of us and thrown away yet. It's going to one day. Believe me, we've been promised that. But for now, that word destroyed is better explained like this. Just like you would take a blender on the counter and unplug the power source. Take its plug, yank it, the blender powers down, it turns off. That's what happened to your sin nature. The power source was unplugged from your life, and the sin nature no longer had power over you. So what did that do for me, David? Well, here's the next phrase in the last part of verse 6. That henceforth, okay, let's stop there. That from the moment you are saved forward. And I'm going to show you that in a second, if I have the time to do it. From henceforth, we should not serve the sin nature any longer. You got it? The reverse happened, so to speak. Adam had the divine nature and was whole with complete God understanding and God consciousness and God relationship. He committed sin. That nature left. The sin nature arrived. When you became saved, because of what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that you were tied together with him. You started with a sin nature. Your body of sin had been growing that far up into your life. Whether you were 6 like I was or 66, it doesn't matter. You've been developing this body of sin because the sin nature has been working in your life. But you came to him. God recognized you as crucified, buried, and resurrected with Christ. And your sin nature was powered down in your life. And the Holy Spirit came to abide within you. And the opposite thing took place from Adam. You started with sin nature, and in a moment, you are now controlled by the divine nature again. And because of that, you do not have to serve the sin nature any longer. You don't have to serve your sin nature any longer, because verse 7 says this: "For he who is dead is freed from the sin nature." The wages of sin was death. And people, the death took place. Not just the death of Christ, but the spiritual death took place for you. You are the walking, living dead. Okay, don't let me freak you out by saying that. But in a sense, that's true. You are dead to the sin nature. Sin nature's still there, but we are dead to it. That relationship is forever changed. Now, let me give you a little Greek study on the word is free. Well, that's two words. The phrase is freed from verse 7. He who is dead is freed from sin. The word is, the phrase, the term is freed here is written in the Greek in what's called the perfect tense. Perfect tense is just a, we have three tenses in English, past, present, future. Okay, in the Greek language, they had hundreds. Literally hundreds. The perfect tense says this. If something's written in the perfect tense, it is a completed past action with permanent present results. Let me say that again, make it make more sense to you. If a word, if a verb is written in the perfect tense in the Greek, is freed is the verb phrase here, it's written in the perfect tense. Here's what it means. When that took place in the past, when you were freed from the sin nature, okay? When you were joined with Christ and saved and justified, when that took place, you were freed from the sin nature. That was a permanent action, a completed action in the past that has permanent present results. What does that mean? Once that took place for you, it will not go away. In other words, you never have to go back to living like you lived before you were saved. It is an action that was permanently taken place and will forever remain true. You have been freed from the power of the sin nature, and you don't have to live there anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Worship Him, because you've been freed from the sin nature. Its power's broken. Until next time, my friend, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.